Everybody, good evening. Welcome to the Hologram Radio Show. Today is Sunday, November the 30th. My name is Cheryl Catherine Smith.
I am Ash Riot.
And we're coming to you from two different locations, so bear with us. We're phoning in to do our show. Ash is, what, I don't know, 4 miles away?
Yeah, not too far away. Just time got the best of me today, and it's my aunt's birthday, and hi, happy birthday to Bonnie Lindell. We love you, Bonnie. You're very close to us, and she's actually going to be a guest on the show, hopefully, in the future.
Yeah, that would be cool. It was Bonnie's birthday 2 days ago, and you guys are celebrating tonight, which is awesome. Your family's very tight, which is a beautiful thing.
Yeah.
So how is the delay on this? Can you hear me right away?
Yeah, I can hear you right away.
Okay, awesome. So I just wanted to know if I had to leave a few seconds in between when I'm speaking. We invite all of you not only to listen to our show, which is entitled Our Worth is Our Key. We're talking about worthiness today. And this is a topic that I asked Spirit about within the last 6 hours. I was presented with a article that came up on my Facebook page from a site called wakeupworld.com. And if any of you want to check this out, it's wakeup-world.com. And today's guest writer was Nanice Ellis, and she wrote about worthiness. And her article is called Worthiness, A Key to Emotional Healing. And that really piqued my interest because I was thinking a lot about how we value ourselves individually. So I broached this with Ash and said, hey, do you want to do this? And here she is. So we haven't even talked about what we're going to talk about between ourselves. So I don't know how you want to open, Ash. How do you, this is all new to me too.
Well, I kind of like it when we don't have a plan, because it's, you know, when we do have a plan, we don't normally stick to it anyways, because it's, you know, we are free spirits as far as, you know, being a radio host are concerned. So today I think the best way to start would be just to first give you our phone number if you want to call in. 888-627-6008. If you want to call in today, because we're going to be talking about, as you said, the worthiness being the key. And I think that I'm going to be just bold and say what that means to me right off the bat is that, you know, worthiness, self-worthiness, is probably one of the most important or detrimental things to our mental health. Because if you don't feel worthy of anything, it's like a crack in the ice. It just goes and goes and goes and goes into every other part. And I've felt that before. I feel like when I'm losing my worth, it just, things kind of, you know, like a wave, like a ripple effect just around me, kind of start to fall down and the negativity spreads. So that's where that kind of thing can be detrimental. But the most important thing being, when you have the worth, it's also kind of like that whole secret mentality, the book The Secret, you know, letting things spread and positivity being very, I don't know, contagious. So I've been noticing in the past, even a few years of my life, how much worthiness and self-respect, how far it goes.
Cool. Well, that's great. I'm glad you shared that because I liked what you said. That's great. To me, self-worth is connected to self-love. And I think that a lot of us proclaim that we have self-love when, in fact, if we were really to delve a little bit deeply into whether or not that's true, many of us would find that actually we're probably pretty harsh on ourselves. And so having self-love means loving loving yourself first, even before loving others, and the importance of that. I know that we tend to be a bit of a society that's kind of in love with the idea of love, and you look at our films and our books and everything that's popular, and what's the main theme? It's often just about finding that perfect one, and that once you find that one, that your life will be complete and your love will be complete, and you know the angels sing and everything else. You know the Cinderella story, which is even today the same story in different guises in our entertainment. And I think that many of us are kind of a bit bummed because we're looking at these stories and thinking, well, how come my life isn't going like that? Or maybe we're comparing ourselves and thinking that, well, I guess that's truth because it comes to me from a story, from a writer, from a script, and it mm-hmm. feels good when I watch it. My heart soars and I'm crying and I'm feeling connected to this story. But why isn't it happening to me, and what's wrong with me? And I think it's really important that each of us recognize that there's nothing wrong with us, that this mm-hmm. is, it's not really, the important thing is that loving for yourself first as opposed to looking outside yourself to fill that void. And mm-hmm. I think that most of us have been kind of sold a bill of goods here that's not quite reasonable, not quite rash, not to say that love and, to love and to be loved by another is not wonderful, because it is. It's fantastic. But instead of just kind of pointing to one particular romantic partner, recognize love is everywhere. And recognize that the most important love that we can have is the love for ourselves individually.
Yeah, I find that sometimes, like, worthiness and stuff like that, like, kind of along the lines of what you were saying, viewing love in different types of ways. A lot of times it's, the kind of unrequited, is that the right word, unrequited love?
Yep.
That's always been the hardest, I think, for anyone to feel worthy with. Because, I mean, if you have feelings for somebody that just does not return them back, and you feel just, okay, well, maybe I'm not worthy, and that emotion, that's kind of hard to pick yourself up from. I'm sure we've all felt that way in our life before.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, I was talking with one of my students about that, actually, about how hard it is to have feelings for somebody who doesn't, quite return them. And that's what I was going to bring up tonight as well, is that it's hard to kind of have enough ego, or maybe is it enough confidence to keep your even, just keep your worth up. To keep how you view yourself, your self-respect, it's sometimes it's hard to brush yourself off and just kind of step back up with anything, whether it's somebody you're have feelings for, whether it's losing a job, something like that, to weather the blows and keep that kind of confidence enough to sustain your worth. That
To not take it personally, like if someone doesn't love you back in the same way that you feel that you're loving them, or if an employer doesn't appreciate your work the way that you appreciate the employer or the job, or if a friend isn't treating you with the respect that you feel that you deserve, does that mean that you're not worthy? So again, it's about looking outside of ourselves to deem mm-hmm. whether or not we are truly worthy. So this is what I was saying, and it ties in really well with the movie analogy, because we're kind of being sold, a bunch of crap, because we start believing that our worth is connected to how others perceive us. So no wonder people want to have a great deal of money so that they can be seen as successful, or if they want to have, some trophy wife or husband on their arm so that they appear like, look it, I'm worthy. Look mm-hmm. how beautiful or how successful this person is. They actually see me as worthy. Therefore, you should, in fact, see me as worthy. This is about, comparisons or making choices based on our lack of worth, because really, ultimately, that's what it means. When we make those kind of choices, it's not based in feeling a sense of worth or a sense of self-love. It's feeling not enough. And when we don't feel that we are enough, we try to grasp, as the Buddhists say, and we try and grasp things to make us feel enough. And the truth is nothing will ever make us feel enough except ourselves. It's definitely and truly an inside job. And the reason why I titled this show Our Worth is Our Key is because it really is a key. We talk a lot about spirituality. We talk about what are the keys to life. Everybody wants to know the answers. Am I enlightened? Am I not enlightened? Am I here for a reason or am I not? Is it just like, you know, just happenstance that I just happen to be here? Is it all by chance or is there a divine plan? I mean, we're all asking those kind of questions, and I truly feel that our worth is indeed the key to even self-fulfillment, to have a sense, a key of opening up all of the, I guess, the reach to all of the answers of the other questions. It begins with self-worth.
Mm-hmm.
It begins with self-love. Yeah. And I think it's. I'm glad that you shared that, like, if we were to kind of look to others to reciprocate in exactly the same way that we are giving, to receive as much as we're giving, then I think a lot of us are going to be disappointed, because how many times have we had the experience where, you know, we've, each of us, I'm not just talking about you and I, Ash, I'm talking about our listeners, have actually given it our all, maybe 110%, and received maybe 50% in return, whether it's from a lover or whether it's from a spouse or it's from a, you know, an employer. And then you're feeling like, why did I do that? Why did I give? Well, don't feel that way, because you gave for yourself. It doesn't matter. This is what I've come to realize. It really doesn't matter what you receive in return. All that truly matters is that which you have given out. I truly believe
that.
Yeah,
I agree.
I've gone through life being very disappointed, and you know, I've had a lot of people tell me, make promises that didn't come through, and it all started when I was a child. You know, I had promises made to me. And when you're a child, you believe adults. You think if an adult tells you something, you believe it wholeheartedly. And then when it doesn't come to pass, it's like so disappointing. It's just, it kind of just erodes your trust. And you're going, wow, you know, people actually say things and don't come through. And I realize that more and more in my life, because it happens all the time. It happens in business. It happens in personal relationships. It happens in family relationships, you know, where people will say things and you kind of think that they mean what they say, and you realize later that they don't. And and it's those crashing and, crashingly disappointing times where you have to kind of just, again, get back to that place of self-worth and not take
it
personally.
How do you do that? Because, you know what, like, I mean, you know what you were saying, you mentioned Buddhist before, and you know how it's, you know, the less you have, the more you have, right? Like, the less material things you have, the more spiritual enlightenment you can attain, you know?
Yeah.
And so if we're supposed to basically find our way back to self-worth after kind of taking a crash, and, you know, we're not, maybe not supposed to do with material things, I mean, you know, how does one find their way back to self-worth? Do you think that there is a formula, an overall formula, or do you think it's more everyone is suited to their own kind of, I don't know, path back?
I think that there's definitely a shared common, I won't call it a formula, but I think there's a shared common thing that works for all of us as human beings. And it's not that we take our individual paths, but they have sort of the same vein that runs through each path. And one of the things, as I was reading in this woman's article, which I highly recommend that our listeners, you know, check out wakeup-world.com, check out her article from today, because this, all what we're speaking about is worthiness, the key to, she says it's the key to emotional healing. And I believe that that worthiness is the key to all healing, because when you have a sense of self-worth that is true, that is valid, that is authentic, then that makes all the difference in the world as to how you see your place in this world. I think that when we have come from a place of, there's the opposite. You were talking about this earlier. You're talking about ego. Ego has nothing to do with self-worth. In fact, people, if you generally see, and I've been one of those people in the past, so filled with ego, you know, I thought my ego was my armor. And the fact is that ego is basically just a wall. it's sheltering that little person inside that doesn't feel good enough, so it's overcompensating, and that's true. And it's amazing when you have the opportunity to meet people. I love that there's a Jim Carrey meme going around, a speech that he made at a university. I can't remember the university that it was, but part of the speech is that he says, I wish everybody in the world could be rich, could be famous, could be, you know, have everything their hearts desired, and then they see that that's not what it is. That's not what it is. That's not what they want. Because no matter what, if you don't have that sense of self-love, you don't have that sense of self-purpose, that sense of self-confidence, that you do matter in this world, you're not here just because, you're not meant to be a punching bag for someone else, you're not meant to be degraded, you're not meant to be disrespected, you're not meant to be dishonored in any way, shape, or form. Once you come to believe that and know that to be true, It's like a transitioning. It's like the butterfly, you know, going from your cocoon, the chrysalis, to actually opening your wings from a spiritual standpoint. So you're asking me what I believe the formula is. Can you tell me what you think it is to that place of self-worth? And we're talking about authentic self-worth, not bravado, not ego, to that place of truly believing in yourself and knowing your worth.
And is that what you think the whole formula is?
No, I'm asking you what you think the formula is. I haven't said what the formula is yet.
Okay. Well, I'll go first then. All I know is that for me, like, it's important to have connection, common ground, and compassion. And because without those things, whenever I felt really alone, that's the times that things have felt kind of the darkest. I'm really comfortable with solace and just kind of solitude and things like that, just like personally. But when I feel like I don't really have anywhere to turn, then things get a little bit crazy. So I think even though sometimes I pull away, I think connection is really important for my self-worth. Connection, compassion. It's
connection to what?
To me, connection to others. Finding
so it could be anybody.
Ground.
You're talking about other human beings, or
other human beings, exactly. As much as I try and pull away at times when I feel kind of wounded, you know, on my ego or you know my worth, I find it easier and faster to come back from that kind of, you know, wanting to disengage when I feel connection, like authentic connection.
Yeah. Well, it's interesting. In this article, one of the things I noticed in what she was saying about our worthiness is that our worthiness, most of our worthiness, this is true, comes from when we're brought up. It comes from our parents. It comes from our school teachers. It comes from our peers, you know, when we're praised a lot because, you know, we got A's always or you know, we were the best in gymnastics and we got our blue ribbons or whatnot, right? Or you could have the opposite experience. You could have had a brutal childhood. You could have been sexually abused, physically abused, mentally, emotionally abused. And so when you're a child and you know, based on what's going all around you, all these things that are happening, it's starting to condition you to having a belief or you know, the quality of belief in your own self and your own worth. So one thing I think, and this is what she mentions in the article too, is but by the time we're, you know, we go out on the world on our own when we grow up and we're ready to take on the world as an adult, we take a lot of this stuff with us. We take a lot of our social conditioning, our personal conditioning, but we also societally have been told that our worth comes from how other people see us. That's kind of the message we get when we're kids, right? Because, you know,
I understand
what
that,
happens
sure.
What happens when you do get an A? You know, you're praised, and the teacher, you know, look at Ash, she got an A, right? You know, let's say hooray for Ash, you know. Or, you know, so we start believing, oh, okay, so I have to do really well and work hard, and then that means that others will value me and see me as worthy. If I don't, if I slack off, if I get D's, then I will be perceived as unworthy, right? So that's just an example.
Well, you know what I was going to say, too, is I find that being a musician, a lot of times, especially within, like, family dynamics and other things like that, it's really tough to be accepted as being a musician as a job.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of times feeling unworthy of, you know, some kind of social status, like, oh, okay, well, you know, when are you going to get a real job? Or, oh, you're just a music teacher. Well, when are you going to get a, you know, get a real job? And to me, that's always been quite hard to deal with because there's nothing wrong with doing something that you love. You don't have to take the road of having the mentality of, you know, I have to be miserable in order to make money. And that for me, that feeling of unworthiness, kind of a degradation because I've chosen kind of a more free spirited, I guess you could say, in comparison to kind of a 9-to-5 deal way of life. It's just kind of I'm not taken as seriously sometimes. And I think that that's been hard for me. Sometimes I'm even, like, too shy to go, you know, with family places, you know, family dinners. I've been kind of just, okay, I'll take a rain check kind of thing because I just know what's coming. But, I mean, I've had a lot of support as well. But
so I know you do it sort of focusing on the support you have and just
not paying attention
to where you don't have support. Now, you're coming from a place, you know, as an adult. You know, you're an adult who's made a decision to be an artist. It's not just musicians, it's artists all around. This is what I believe. I'm an artist.
Of
I've
course.
Been an artist for a long time. I'm self-employed. You know, of course, I've even had close family members tell me right to my face, you need to do what we do, and basically you can't do what you're doing. You've got pie-in-the-sky ideals. You know, what's wrong with you? We all work. We all hate what we do. That's just the way life is. And I actually, you know, my mouth dropped because, are you serious? Like, that's how you perceive life? Well, no wonder we have this kind of generational thing in our own family, this idea of what success is. And in my family, success is seen as financial success. And so here I am, you know, now a woman on her own, just doing what I do, and I think I've always been considered quite the black sheep of the family, and I'm okay with that. I've never really fit in.
Yeah.
And I feel I wouldn't change it, quite frankly, because when we can stand apart and say, you know what, you've been fed a line of bullshit for a long time, and if you're telling your children, you're telling your grandchildren, you're telling your brothers, your sisters, anyone, what they should or shouldn't do, that's a pretty dangerous place to be. And I think that when you come from a place of self-worth, it's just as vital for you to honor and acknowledge another person's self-worth. And acknowledge, you know, that they are worthy no matter what they decide to do with their life. And it's not for any of us to say, this is what we do. It's up to us to be a little more free, a little more trusting, a little more open-minded, and allowing each other to flourish, not just ourselves. But it's true, like Marianne Williamson has that saying that Nelson Mandela spoke when he was freed, and I'm going by memory, but it's basically, you know, who are you not to let your light shine? Because in doing so, you give others permission to shine theirs. And this is kind of where self-worth comes from. Our light is our self-worth. Our sense of self, our
definitely.
Sense of belonging, the importance that we each feel that we are. And if we can shine that
definitely.
Light and others can say, at first they'll go, hey, who are you to think you're special, right? Most people will be offended by it. Most people will be angry or angered by it. But eventually they'll come around to see that it's not an unkind thing to do. In fact, it's allowing them the ability to say, hey, wait a minute here. I kind of got my own light going on. You know, I think I'm going to shine it too. Like, rather than being jealous or rather than being angry or try to oppress someone who's doing
it. What about the people though who just don't want to be light?
Well, the darker? The people who want to indulge their darkness? the murderers,
yeah.
the warmongers, the rapists, the pillagers, the people that think they have to take in order to have. Those people?
Well, you know, those kind of people, yeah, but I mean, like I'm talking about too, like, say, like, you know, even what we were talking about before, like the family dynamic and stuff, and you know how we were talking about the family members kind of not taking us seriously because of the musician thing, right?
Yeah, like
what
it's
about
a
the
hobby.
Other side of the...
Pardon?
Right, what about the other side of the coin where it's like they do take it seriously, and because you're into it, they're all of a sudden treating you like you're the cat's pajamas, and then the minute you stop doing it, they drop you. And
well,
it's like
guess...
that's one of the that was.
So you've had both.
That was one of the hardest things for me. That was one of the hardest things for me to deal with.
Well, that you're just talking about your personal experience now. So I don't know how much you want to share with the audience.
I'm just saying, like, in general, like, that could happen to anyone, where it's like, you know, they have family members who are...
Be honest. You're coming from a very personal space. And, I mean, there's a lot of...
Absolutely.
There's a lot of musicians that have garnered great, you know, and not even just musicians, artists, that have garnered great success in terms of being known throughout the world and also probably financially compensated for their success. And a lot
Definitely.
Of them, especially in music, don't necessarily have longevity. I mean, there's very few magicians, well, it's kind of like magic, musicians who have endured the test of time, and you could speak of, say, for example, the Rolling Stones. What? They've got five generations. Mm-hmm. Then you've got Cher. She's five decades is what I meant, five decades.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, but so what? People drop them? No, they still have fame. They still have whatever, but they're not the hot thing. So yeah, there'll be people who are very, very shallow, who that's all they're there for. But that has nothing to do with self-worth. That has to do with how the world perceives us. That's about the programming. That's not about our individual self-worth. So why don't you come from a place and share? You've had this experience because, you know, you did really well as a solo artist, and you were garnering some, you know, good traction. And suddenly you're getting attention, and there's people, friends, whatever. Hey, wow, you're the, you know, hey, I haven't talked to you in 5 years, and I heard about you, and hey, let's go out for coffee, and can I come to your show, and can we hang out, and I want to be your friend, right? And then when you stop it, then where are they? Well.
Exactly. It's like it totally, sometimes, like for me what happened is it was just like a family member that I had been close to all my life, who then, you know, I kind of found out they were just, you know, talking crap behind my back, but, you know, as soon as I was doing the music stuff, they were right there, even saying, oh, can I come to your band practices and things like that. And then, you know, when I had eventually decided to go a different route with my life rather than, you know, being in a band, you know, solo kind of band, doing, you know, teaching music, it was like, okay, well, I was just not good enough anymore, and all of a sudden I just wasn't cool. And that was really hard for me to keep my worth, because I thought, well, aren't I worth more than that? I thought I was, and I know I am, but it's tough. It's really tough to take a blow like that sometimes.
Well, yeah, and we've all taken some pretty big hits from people that we were pretty tight with, and I mean, really big hits. I've taken some huge hits from people I had trusted, and, you know, really big hits. And you're going, oh, my God, like my whole world has, my belief in humanity and kindness and love has been shattered. And you kind of pick yourself up, and you go, okay, where am I in all of this? Where am I in all this pain and all this disappointment and this sense of, am I that disposable, right? And
exactly.
This is what we're talking about, though. We're talking about self-worth.
Am I that replaceable?
Well, and I've come to believe that it has nothing to do with us personally. If that's a person's intention, thank God, thank Goddess, they're not around anymore. Because they don't have authentic love, and which means that they want the best for you, that they care about you, because they come with conditions. It's all conditional. And what this article says, and I will bring this up too as a great segue, is that our worthiness is unconditional. We have been programmed that our self-worth has conditions, whereby it does not, in fact, have any conditions. We are worthy, period. Not we are worthy because we are doing music and we're doing it well. Not we are worthy because we are male, or we are worthy because we are female, or we are worthy because we are mothers or brothers or sisters, whatever.
Or rich.
We are, exactly. We are worthy, period. And each of us, each and every person on this planet, has to make that affirmation for themselves. I am worthy, period. Not I'm worthy if I do this, or if I'm seen this way, or I'll be worthy when.
Or if I come in first place, or I win this award. Or.
Yeah, once I get a Grammy, I'll be worthy. Well, maybe in someone's mind, they'll see you as a worthy musician once you receive a Grammy, but it doesn't change who you are as a musician prior to getting that Grammy, or in 20 years after that Grammy's gathering dust on your shelf. The worthiness has nothing. It's not tied into the Grammy. If someone else perceives you as better because of a Grammy, that's their perception. It has nothing to do with your own personal self-worth. And this is where we have to separate, like you're talking about your family member. You separate yourself from that family member and realize that what's really happening is a deep hurt, because there's so much disappointment and pain and feeling almost abandoned.
Yeah,
did
you really even care about me at all? Like, was there any part of, you know, any part of that love that was real?
Yeah, and I've asked that myself about relationship. Was any part of that real? And I guess we just have to just believe that what was real was what we felt, because that's all we know.
Yeah,
all we truly know is our own experience. We don't know another's experience. And it's a waste of time trying to figure everything out, because that just takes us to the past. And the past is not a place to be. When we're in our now, we are fully in our eternal moment. We are fully here. We're fully present. We're really experiencing. But if we get stuck in the past and the questions, or we get stuck in the future wondering with even more questions, we're not here. It's like being in a dream. You know, I realize how much I spend a lot of time. I think a lot, as you know. I'm a real thinker. Sometimes I can't shut my head off, and I'm constantly thinking. It's like I got thinking elves in my head, and they're, you know, I've got little compartments.
They overwhelm you.
And they're, you know, I'm very orderly in my thinking, because I compartmentalize. So I've got my career thinking brain part. I've got my relationship thinking brain part. I've got my where do I fit in this life brain part of thinking. I've got that when am I going to do this with my family thing. You know, everything's compartmentalized. And then I go off, because once we're thinking, we're not even in our moment. And I'm realizing more and more how much I'm not staying even in my own moments, because I'm off thinking about what I should be doing, or what I can do, or what I, you know, what I'm planning, what I should be doing, and my strategies here in terms of even my week. And I just kind of realize, oh my God, like, why is it that I spend so much time thinking? Why don't I just bring myself to the moment and have faith and trust that I'm going to be fine? I can have some time for thinking and whatnot, but I don't have to do it all the time.
Yeah, that you can actually allow yourself time to experience. I mean, it's kind of in the same way as, you know, people are obsessed with going places and taking pictures, that they're not even living in the moment. And it's kind of like the same thing for this. There's time where you got to shut your head off and live in the moment, because you're talking about how to
get to a place of having that self-worth, right? You're saying, what is the strategy? What is the formula, right? You asked that earlier in the program.
Yeah.
Do you remember, Ash?
Yes, I did. Can you hear me?
Hello?
Can you hear me?
Hello?
Hello? I'm there. Can you hear me?
Hello? Am I here?
Hello? I'm here.
I couldn't hear anybody.
Oh, strange. No, we can hear you. I mean,
okay.
I can hear you.
All right, awesome.
Well,
so remember, I was asking you about your strategy, how to come back to a feeling of self-worth, right? And you were talking about connection.
Yeah, exactly.
I want to go to what this woman speaks about in her analysis of how to get back to that place. And she said, firstly, you have to turn off the worthiness programming. So the only way to turn off a program, she says, is to claim your power over it. So no matter how powerful something may seem, there's nothing that has power over you. And I think a lot of us start to believe that we are overpowered by our belief system, or we're overpowered by our thoughts, or we're overpowered by a spouse, or we're overpowered by a government, or we're overpowered
routine. Even routine.
Exactly, by complacency or routine. And we can claim power back. We can, you know, again, it's about empowering. Claim your power over it. To say,
exactly.
You don't own me. You don't have power over me. It's myself. Mm-hmm. I have to get out of. It's like being in a trench. It's like being in a ditch, and not even realizing you're in a ditch until you look up and see that you're in a ditch. So
exactly.
It's kind of climbing out
exactly.
of that ditch, right? So part of of our worthiness stems from our programming. So it's about letting go of the programming. Not believing what so-and-so said to you. Not believing, like for my example would be, not believing that family member that told me that I couldn't do what I wanted to do with my life because I had to be like everyone else and hate what I do. That's the way life is. You work for a living, you do what you have to do, and you hate it. Most of us hate it. So I just, instead of being angry or upset at him, I kind of went, wow, where did you learn that? So obviously someone else from your past told you that, and you lived your life accordingly. So how happy are you?
You can't get that time back.
You can't. Nobody can. So I think a lot of it is people are jealous or they're upset because they haven't taken their own hearts and followed them. They've done what they thought they should do or what they were told they should do, and then they're left feeling resentful and angry. And so they're pissed off when someone else is doing something that they can see they love and enjoy and following their own path and their own hearts and their own dreams. And it's almost like a how dare you. But instead of taking it personally, I just decided, like, it hurt. It hurt. This is someone I respect very much, and it hurt me. I was actually in shock. Quite honestly, and it hurt me, and I was left reeling, and I thought, well, that's unfortunate that he feels that way, but I'm not going to feel that way. I'm taking my power back. So you believe that. So maybe you think I'm a bit of a, I don't know, maybe even a loser. I don't know, because I'm not doing something I absolutely loathe and despise, although I have, because you have to do what you have to do sometimes, but I haven't stayed in it. Right? It's about pulling yourself out and doing what you have to do, but then going back to the dream or maintaining the dream in some way. So,
exactly.
Yeah. So,
finding where you fit.
Well, yeah, it's being true to yourself. It's recognizing and valuing yourself enough in knowing that you don't have to do something. Live a whole lifetime doing something that you absolutely loathe and despise. Why?
Mm-hmm.
Why?
Exactly.
For what purpose? Does it make you a better
exactly.
person? Is it showing that you have resilience, or is it just not honoring yourself, not having a sense of self-worth or valuing yourself? So we really have to kind of look at where we get our programming from. Where are those voices coming from that are telling us that the should voices or the can't or the can voices, you know, what are the difference between them? And this woman is saying that when you own your own worth, that it literally changes your life, and I believe that. Because it changes how you even allow others to treat you. It changes where you stay or where you choose to stay, where you choose to leave.
Yeah, agreed.
You know, it could change you if you're in a marriage where your spouse is abusive. And they're not changing. Mm-hmm. They're not willing to change. They don't want to look at it. But, you know, it changes. You go, well, wait, I'm sorry that you're not willing to look at it, but I don't deserve this. So, bless you, I'm moving forward. You know, it changes.
Exactly. Sometimes people aren't just...
And then that would be literally changing your life. And it also helps another person to recognize that it's important how we treat each other. Because how we treat each other is more of a reflection of how we feel about ourselves. And again, that comes right back to self-worth.
Oh, exactly. I think that one of the most important things for our self-worth, one of the most important things for just personal well-being, is feeling respected in any way. And, you know, I think that family is a big one, friends are a big one. And for me, I've always been kind of confidently insecure, let's say. When I'm confident, I'm very kind of humble in my confidence, and when I'm insecure, I'm kind of pigheaded in my insecurity, where I just can't really, you know, let any positive, feelings about myself in. And so I understand about the whole family issue and friend issue, but what happens when you're dealing with the public and what the public is thinking about you? And I mean, it doesn't even have to be like, you don't have to be famous, but I mean, it could even be just me as a guitar teacher, or, you know, you as a DJ or something like that. What happens when you're trying to prove your worth to yourself, or, you know, or just feel your self-worth? But what happens if you're trying to step on unsteady ground with people you don't know, and keep that confidence up enough to let yourself go without having reservations all the time, without being insecure? How do you comfort yourself?
Well, I think it's imperative for any of us, with what you're talking about, being a music teacher, being a DJ. So I think it's important that when we are doing our vocations, whatever our vocation may be, that we are making an honest self-evaluation, and part of that would be for you, do I know what I'm talking about? Am I proficient at each instrument I'm teaching? Do I have enough experience? Do I have enough knowledge? And when all of the answers come back as, yes, I believe I do, then if someone's having a problem, or they're trying to, you know, say that you're not doing something right, and if you've said, well, what is it that you're expecting, and they can't be clear, then you have to just kind of let some of these things go, that they're not personal. They're not a reflection of how good of a music teacher or how good of a DJ you are. It's more of a reflection of perhaps false expectations or misconceptions or their own stuff.
Mm-hmm.
So
I feel very confident as a friend. I feel very confident, you know, as a music teacher. But as soon as, like, you know, since we're just being very honest on the show, as soon as I get public, and, like, as far as DJing, even though I'm confident and I know how to DJ, that's where I kind of, my walls go up, and I kind of, you know, do that little inner coil where I just, you know, the physician on the ground kind of curling up, and I just can't, I'm not comfortable. I don't know why. I used to be, but I don't know what's changing in me, but...
Well, I think when it comes to being a DJ or a top 40 musician, and I've been both, there's a lot of criticism. There's a lot of people who will criticize, and it's not, again, it's maybe they're not particularly fond of the type of music that you're playing, which the majority likes, but they decide they don't. So it's just like the modeling world when I was modeling. It's a world, and even and all the entertainment world, there's a lot of critics. And there's a lot of people who aren't being critical or critiquing from a really positive place. Of course, we have to be open for positive criticism, like where we can improve, and we need to be open to that. However, unfortunately, that most criticism is just, it's not really coming from that place. It's more just from a place of insecurity or a place of anger.
Mm-hmm.
And you have to be able to discern the two, whether it's valid criticism and it's going to help you be better at what you're doing, or whether it's an attempt at being discouraging or to cut you down. And I think that comes with life and with experience and feeling and understanding your own response to it, and intuitively kind of feeling where the person's coming from. And of course, when you're dealing with the jobs that we deal with, you're also dealing with people who are under the influence of drugs, and or alcohol, so they're coming from a whole different place too. So it's not necessarily a very comfortable and safe place to be. So I can see the difference.
Well,
when you're a teacher, you're in your own environment, you're mostly working with children, which are they're, you know, very beautiful. Their souls are beautiful, they're not trying to hurt you, you know, but when you go out there in the big bad world, so to speak, and you're dealing with people who are full of anger and depression and they're just kind of want to let someone have it after they've had 10 beer, well, it's not really the best place to be because you're kind of just, you're in the limelight, you're going to get the shot. And I think it's
important. And especially if you're feeling fragile.
Yeah, and you're so sensitive. You're psychically super sensitive. So, of course, it's going to be hard for you to be out in that kind of environment. And I am, too. I'm super psychically sensitive. But I'm also can ground and can shield quite well. But, I mean, none of us are impervious to someone trying to hurt us. It hurts when someone is bullying you. It hurts when someone's trying to hurt you. It's just a natural kind of response to someone who's purposely trying to be malicious is to feel that pain. But it doesn't mean we take it on. You know, being able to separate ourselves and not allow our self-worth to be affected by it. But of course we're going to be a little bruised. You know, there's a lot of bruising that happens. Well, and I think if people kind of go through life saying, nobody hurts me, I'm invincible, I don't give an F about anybody, yada, yada, that's not self-worth, that's ego. And that's an ego that's been built like a huge wall. But anyone who has a sincere sense of self-worth will still be vulnerable, will still practice compassion, will still be open-hearted and filled with love, not only for self but for others. So of course, anybody who's intentionally trying to be mean or malicious, it's going to affect that person, but it's not going to destroy them. That's the difference. When you come from a place of self-worth, you value yourself, you know yourself enough, and you know your heart enough, and you know your intentions enough, that if someone's telling you something that completely does not resonate, that goes against everything that you're doing or being, you know that's them. It has nothing to do with you. So being able to separate ourselves. So this woman, I love this article because she surmises, you know, it's really beautiful how she surmises in the article about what I spoke about earlier in the show about it's our gift that we give. When we come from a place of self-worth, we allow others to see that they have self-worth too. So she says, to bring your gift of worthiness to the world. And it's important for each of us to have this so we can share it. It's not selfish. I think some of us think, I had somebody tell me once, I said, I love myself, and he actually said, why? I was actually kind of shocked. Yeah, like, why? What do you mean, why? I mean, self-love is a really good thing. So I guess, obviously, he didn't have it, so he's wondering why I had it. And I think it's important for us to be able to bring our own gift of self-love and self-worth so that others can see that they can value themselves. And this is what she says. I want to read this because it's really beautiful, and it's a nice way to wrap up this program. She says, your mission in life is to find yourself worthy so that you can go out into the world and show others how to find it for themselves just by modeling unconditional worthiness in the living of your life. If you are raising children, be conscious of not hooking them in to the worthiness program and teach them that they are unconditionally worthy. Encourage them to think for themselves. You can also help to release the people in your life from the worthiness program by loving them and accepting them exactly as they are. This means as you rid yourself of negative self-talk, self-judgment, and self-criticism, you must also stop judging others no matter what they do. Seeing everyone as 100% worthy right now creates a space for others to break free. This is the greatest gift you can give to any human being. As you release the search for conditional worth and you embrace your birthright of unconditional worth, you naturally realign with a higher frequency of worthiness. A knowing grows inside you that shows you that we are all intrinsically perfect and worthy beings. And as you discover yourself and everyone else to be unconditionally worthy, life as you once knew is transformed before your eyes, and you are free to live your life as it was meant to be. Now, what a lofty goal, you know, for us to stop that negative self-talk and to also stop it for others, because our criticism of self and others keeps us separate. And that would be my biggest challenge, is I can see a lot of wrongs being done in the world, and it's hard not to judge them, or it's hard not to claim them as misdeeds or as wrongs. And I still will see certain things as incorrect in terms of not coming from love. But trying harder and harder to not criticize those who are close to me, who I work with, you know, it's not always easy, because I am my own worst critic, and I think a lot of people can say the same. So self-worth, it means letting go of the self-critic, of that part of us that tells us we're not good enough. And when we tell ourselves we're not good enough, then automatically we'll see others as not good enough either. So it's breaking the chains of a belief system.
That's so important, to not be sheeple.
To not what? Be sheeple?
Yeah.
There's a beauty in being alike, too, and honoring our alikeness. And one of the other things I wanted to share personally, what I feel, you're asking me what my formula is. Personally, my formula is always staying connected to spirit, to God, to creator, to goddess, whatever you choose to call your higher power. That is my most important connection. And once I, you know, focus on that and try and stay in the flow of the divine, then I feel that that helps my own personal self-worth, because I feel loved, I feel supported, I feel valued just from connecting to that. And that can be, for me, I connect a lot with nature. You can connect through meditation, which is something I was doing regularly, as you know, and then I kind of dropped it for a bit, and I'm picking it up again because I need to meditate. I just need that in my life. It makes me way calmer.
Yeah.
So that's how I see
it.
You know, she says, drop the criticism of self and others. I say, reconnect to source, to creator, to the energy that is divine and it comes from love. And you say, connect to others. So I'd say that those are all pretty good.
Very select few.
Pardon me?
I said a very select few, though, because if you make connections with the wrong people, it's just more irritating.
Well, you definitely want to connect with people that you know truly value you and support you and love you. You don't, you know, you don't want to be with people that would throw you under the bus, so to speak. Those are the ones that you say, hey, bless you, you're on a journey, I'm on a journey, and our journeys are separate.
Exactly.
Well, Ash, it was good to do the program this way. I appreciate you being able to call in and me being able to call in. So thank you, Doug, for letting us do it in this. We've never done it in almost 4 years of the show. We've never done it this way.
Yes, we have. Yes, we have.
Oh, yes, we did. One time when I was in Toronto. That's right.
And we were I think we were doing the program with Don Hose that day.
Yeah, exactly. And I was actually thinking about Don. Don Hose, we did a program back in September of 2012, I believe, or 2013. And, 2013. And for those of you who are listening, Don Hose is a wonderful teacher of meditation. So we're talking about meditation as part of this program, and I would suggest that you go into the archives and check out sometime in September. It might have been the 27th, 2013, Don Hose, and listen to that program and get some more insight.
You can check it out on our website, yeah.
Yeah. More insight and wisdom as to meditation and how that can help you get back to source and to yourself. So there
Absolutely.
You have it.
Well,
thank you,
Ash.
Thank
you, everyone. Thanks for calling in.
Thank you. Thank you. Yeah, for what?
For being a co-host.
Anytime. I love you. I love you, Doug and Dawn. Thank you for doing a great job engineering, and to BBS for bringing some really great shows to everybody. And we love you as listeners, and go kiss some trees. Take care. Bye for now.
Take care. Good night.